You're listening to Critical Reads. This show is designed to help people critically analyze topics like race, culture, and faith, one resource at a time. I am your host, Neff Lesperance. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Critical Reads, the podcast. I am your host, Neff, as the intro says. For those of you that this may be the first episode you've ever listened to, welcome to the show. And for those of you who have been rocking with me since the beginning, welcome back. It's always great to have you join me again for another episode. As promised, this is going to be part two of the episode that I've entitled Promising Young Woman. As I said in the last episode, because me and my good friend Diane covered so much, I wanted to make sure that I broke it up a little bit so the content didn't feel overwhelming. But either way, you can always feel free to hop in and out, come in and out, and take this episode as you feel comfortable, right? And so for those of you who did not listen to part one yet, I do invite you to please pause this and listen to part one first before you hop into part two. For those of you who have already listened to part one, I hope you enjoy this episode and that you can continue to learn and grow the ways that, in similar ways that me and Diane have during our intake of this movie. So without further ado, here's part two. So I think like with Madison's character, we do kind of start to see a little bit more about like, you know, Cassie, how, you know, why she's upset, because she brings up to Madison the fact that like, you know, Cassie and I guess her friend Nina came to Madison and said, this happened to me. Madison didn't believe her. She joined the group of people that were like, basically calling Nina names and saying that she was making stuff up and victim blaming her, saying, oh, you know, you probably because you drink too much. Like, there's a lot of things that Madison said that I was like, oh, girl.
One of the things that I remember her saying where she's like, well, if you have a reputation.
Oh, yes.
With a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Like, don't be surprised when you drink a little too much. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
I know, girl. You just wanted to slap her from the... Mm-hmm. From over here, yeah.
But that's always the excuse, you know?
Exactly.
Like, well, if she wasn't drinking, that wouldn't have happened. And it's like, okay.
Or what was she wearing? Or what? Or even if she had a pass of being, like, the biggest slut on camera, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, she can have sex if she wants. We let men have sex with whoever they want, no issues, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
and what's upsetting is that, like, we act like men don't have self-control.
Exactly. And I think
it's so like, it's hard for me to comprehend in that kind of, you know, as somebody who like speaking to somebody like Madison.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean? Like, she was drunk and she was vulnerable, right? Probably not the best scenario, but it happens. It's happened to me. You know, I've definitely drank more than I thought I should. But like the other person could still say, hey, I need to protect her. Like, she's vulnerable. I'm going to just put her away in a room. But instead, they brought her into a room and they brought the rest of the fucking gang. You like sexually assault her and then whatever. So it's just, it's so bizarre to me to be able to take that stance and not acknowledging that the man has every right. Like, he has self-control.
Exactly.
You know? Like, I'm sorry, but when I tell my dog no... He knows what no means.
Exactly.
You're telling me that you don't understand the capability of no.
Exactly. Yeah. And then even then, like, even as women, like, we're attracted to guys and sometimes in the same way that we want to jump them too, but we have fucking self-control.
And that's not to say that men can't get raped as like,
no, either. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But again, we're talking about like this, obviously like continuous problematic, like scenario where just men feel like it's okay to take advantage.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's horrible for sure. But yeah, but from this scene with Cassie and Madison though as well, because I know like she gives her like fake, like she gives her champagne. She's drinking ginger ale, getting this girl sloshed, and then eventually, you know, Cassie does kind of give her an opportunity to make amends and be like, okay, I was wrong in how I handle this. But like Madison just continues to double down on everything. So at some point, Cassie's like, well, you haven't changed. And then, like, she kind of sets her up to get really, really wasted. She doesn't remember what the hell's happening anymore. She blacks out, gets drunk, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or she gets blacked out drunk, I should say. And then Cassie, when she's leaving, she walks up to this guy and gives her, like, a hotel room key and says, hey, like, take her to this hotel room. And I know for me, when I first saw that, I was like, Cassie, you good, sis? Like, what did you just do? You know, like, you're like, did you just pimp this girl out? And I mean, thank God we don't see that happening. Like, that doesn't happen. But, and you will find out later why she does that. But it was just very interesting to see her, like, do that, you know? And then I think after she deals with Madison, she ends up confronting the dean that was the dean at the school when everything went down.
Dean Elizabeth Walker.
Yes, girl. And it's so interesting because the way she goes about doing this, first she, like, pretends to be a makeup artist for the favorite, like, boy band of someone that, like, Dean Walker's daughter likes, right? She asks the daughter, hey, get in the car with me. Can you show me? Where, like, she basically persuades her to help her find where the restaurant or whatever it is that they're supposed to go to. And I love that she first makes it seem like, oh, no, I'll get in trouble if you come with me. Maybe not. And, you know, she uses reverse psychology to get this girl to agree to go with her to this place. And again, when you watch how this happens, you're just like, oh, my God. Like, what does Cassie do? Like, you think Cassie has lost her goddamn mind.
Yeah,
because you just see her lock the door at some point and you're like, oh my God, what is Cassie gonna do, right? But then she ends up going to Dean Walker and confronts her about what happens, and she says a lot of problematic things, but the one thing that stood out to me was the thing about, like, the dean was like, well, we get accusations all the time, like at least one or two a week.
I literally wrote down the quote because I don't know if it's the same quote.
Go ahead. But
I wrote down what she says that angered me so much. Mm-hmm. She said, what would you have me do? Ruin a young man's life every time we get an accusation? And I'm just like, yeah. Because most of the time, like, there is a very small percentage of those accusations being false. Like, truly being false. The majority of the time, they are women trying to stand up and say something, you know? And because it did happen. And it's just like, it would have been nice if you could investigate it. It would have been nice if you could at least, like, listen and understand. And to me, I feel, and obviously this kind of, I'm sure this happens a lot in universities that we never hear about, but that kind of response just shows that, like, the school values men more than it does women. Because again, it's like, would you want me to ruin this young man's life? And it's like, if he ruined this woman's life, then yes, there are consequences. You know, you can't just go ahead and, like, sexually assault somebody or, you know, like, start this violent crime and then expect that nothing is going to happen to you.
Exactly. And especially the fact that this girl's life, she ends up killing herself. So you don't think that, you know, between the sexual assault and everything, like, her life wasn't ruined, the people around her weren't impacted?
Because, like, nobody believed her. Mm-hmm. Nothing was done. She had this awful, like, weight, right, carried around where she basically, like, her life was ruined when that happened. And I think at the end when Cassie said, like, Nina was Nina until that day, and then she was yours.
Yeah, exactly. Because
she never let that go. Like,
exactly.
And rightfully so, right? Like, she was struggling with what happened to her. Exactly. And it was a tragic and traumatic thing. And so she obviously fell into depression. I'm sure that it was really difficult, that nobody believed her and she couldn't do anything about it. She dropped out of school because, again, these were her classmates. These were her friends. And while, yes, it was one person, we later find out that there were more people involved than we thought originally.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just can't imagine, like, having your own friends the people that you go to class with every day doing something like that to you, and you still being able to go to class. Like, I just imagine. Yeah. I can't.
Yeah, because they all, like, basically watched her get, you know, sexually assaulted, and they're like,
yeah, about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, again, it's just, it's upsetting when universities respond that way, or when people respond that way. Even, like, you know, and we'll, I'm sure we'll get to it with the lawyer. It's like the judicial system also has a fault for that.
Exactly. Like,
well, he's so young. He's a young man. He has potential. He could have been like Brock Turner, you know, like that whole situation. Right. Yeah. The whole situation was messy because they kept saying that he was a young man. He has so much potential and he has so much talent. And it's like, what about this woman though? What about this, like, promising young woman, you know, like, it's just, I don't know.
And they literally caught his ass in the act. It's not like it was like, oh, it might have happened. It's like, literally, they beat the shit off of him, off of this girl, and you guys are like, there's evidence here, like, witnesses have watched. Yeah. This. Yeah. And you guys are still making excuses for it. And didn't he only get like 2 months?
Oh my god, it was, yeah,
it was like a bullshit number. It was something,
it was really
stupid.
Little.
Yeah, it was stupid. Like, I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't disheartening to see, but unfortunately, like, I think it's something that, you know, especially us who went to college, we know that shit happens on campuses often. And so, and it was hard to watch this administrator speak this way. But I think, again, this is where we see between the characters of Madison and Dean Walker that women play a role in this too, in enabling, wow, this behavior and not, wow, forcing men to take accountability for what they do. And I did love that Cassie basically forced this lady to kind of confront the fact that,
yes,
she played a role in what happened with Nina, because when Nina reported it to this dean, she didn't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
She was just, you know, she kind of had this,
remember.
Yeah. Oh, that was the worst part. And she was like, she had like this boys will be boys attitude about it. Right.
And she remembered Al Monroe. She was like, oh, he's such a great guy. He came, yeah, back to have a talk or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And
exactly.
I'm like, but you can't remember the woman that.
But I feel like she did remember. I feel like she pretended like she didn't remember until when she finally forced her to remember. Because remember, then when, you know, she's like, oh, yeah, I dropped your daughter off. In the same room that with Al, remember? Like, she didn't remember the room, obviously, and,
yeah,
stuff. But then she was like, you're right, I did do, like, so she did remember. I think she was trying to play it off like she did it.
Worse.
Yeah, that's even worse. And like, girl, some cojones and say you were wrong. But she eventually, because Cassie, you know, was like, oh, well, what if I tell you your daughter's in the same room where Al was, and the guys there have alcohol and blah, blah, blah. And at first, when she was saying all that shit, I was like, Cassie? Like, I was like, you okay? You snaps?
Yeah, because we don't see what happened to,
yeah,
the young girl. Yeah.
And we didn't know what happened to the young girl, but finally Cassie admits to this lady once she finally says, okay, I fucked up. Cassie's like, girl, I brought your daughter to a diner. She thinks she's waiting to see a rock, like her people, the rock stars that she likes. Like, it's,
yeah,
not even that I did that to her, but she made that lady sweat, and I was living for that scene because I was like, damn.
I loved it when she says something like, I guess I just had to give it to you from the right perspective.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
When it's somebody that you love.
Yeah.
The same thing happened with Allison. Allison comes around and she feels guilty and she understands, but only because she was put in an uncomfortable situation.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know what happened. Honestly, I get so mad at women like that. I know that we should be more patient and whatever, and women support women, but that shit pisses me off.
No, because, yeah, and because it is hard, where it's like, it shouldn't have to happen to you for you to feel empathy.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I have never been sexually assaulted, knock on wood, you know, but like, I didn't have to go through that for me to know that that's wrong. Like,
yeah,
you're violating somebody. It's wrong. Like, there's,
yeah,
I don't need to go through that to know. I don't need my sister to go through that to know.
Girl,
that.
The lack of empathy sometimes.
Yes, girl.
It's
disgusting.
Overwhelming. Jesus Christ.
It is disgusting. And if it happens and you know somebody and you're in the group of the people, sing like a canary, because that is fucked up. I'm like, I don't understand why we're defending people. And again, it could be any gender. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It's not okay for you to be doing this to somebody. So Yeah, so watching Madison's character and the other one, the dean, was like infuriating. Because it was just a moment where it's like, dude, like, I can't, you know? But I think after this encounter with the dean, you kind of slowly start to see that, like, Cassie's, like, losing her mind a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I know...
Honest, I love Cassie. Yeah. I would be her friend, but I'd also be like, girl, you need to go to therapy.
Girl, yesterday, like, she needed to go.
And I totally understand feeling guilty, feeling like she could have saved Nina, but in reality, there was nothing that she can do.
Yeah, you know, like, exactly.
These people are the ones that did this to Nina. And maybe, sure, if you were there, maybe you could have prevented it. But who knows? Maybe she also would have been, you know, sexually assaulted. We don't know. But anyway, yeah, Cassie is not totally innocent. Like, yes, we're cheering for her and we're saying, yeah, bitch, like, fuck these people up, even though she's not really doing anything. But she's putting this mirror in front of them. They don't like what they see. And I love that. But at the same time, she has this moment where she goes to Nina's house and she speaks to her mom briefly. And Nina's mom, at the end, she's just like, Cassie, you need to move on. And I think that's like, that's kind of the only time that we have somebody tell Cassie, like, well, not true. Because I think her family tells her, like, you know, you really need to, like, get your shit together or whatever. But it was just kind of interesting to also see, like, somebody say, like, you need to move on. Like, Cassie, like, she's gone. But and you wouldn't think, coming from the person who lost her daughter, to tell you to move on. Like, that's saying a lot.
No, but I agree with you. Like, I liked that they did have somebody come through that was outside of, because I think hearing it from her parents that, hey, you need to let this go, was not hidden for her at all.
Like, honestly, if my parents told me that, I would have been like, that's hurtful, because that was my best friend.
And exactly, exactly.
But coming from the person who lost their child.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you need to move on again. That's saying so much.
Exactly. Because she wasn't listening to Gail, she wasn't listening to her parents, she wasn't listening to nobody. But the moment that girl's mom was like, girl, you need to let this go, she finally lets it go. For a minute. But I think that's where it was good that she had that conversation with Nina's mom, because I know previously to that, she was still doing that club thing and it ruined her opportunity to still be with Ryan or Bo, whatever. Yeah. And so, because Bo ends up, you know, she missed the date and then she ends up going to the club to do the things that she usually does with these dudes. And Bo ends up seeing her like at this club with some random dude. And Bo is like, what the hell? So like, because of that encounter, like she ends up ruining a potential thing with him for a minute. And then after she has this talk with Nina's mom, she's like, okay, maybe I need to really let this go. And so she tries to go back to Bo or Ryan and be like, look, I'm sorry. I need to apologize to you, blah, blah, blah. And it's funny because like when she first does it, he kind of like rejects her. And then like a few scenes later, he's like, you want to go to dinner, you miserable asshole, is what he says.
That scene. I love the relationship. Ryan is the kind of guy that I would most 100%. I was going to say most likely, but 100% I would have a crush on Ryan.
Yeah, same.
Based on me. But,
except for the moment where we're like, fuck. But outside of that, I'm like, yeah, he was a sweet guy. So, which is so hard when we get to this point. So then cue the dating montage that they have of them, which is so cute. And they did it to that song Stars Are Blind or whatever by Paris Hilton. So during this time, you see them like they start with their little date at the pharmacy.
Yeah.
They're also like eating dinner together on some dates, hanging out with Gail. You just see them going through this such cute times together.
It's a really sweet montage. And what I like is that like, while this is a revenge movie, it has like themes of a rom-com, which is so sweet. Like you have all the poppy music and the bright pastel like colors everywhere. And it's just so sweet. And again, like Cassie and him end up falling in love and he meets her parents. And one of the lines that I think was really sweet that her own dad says, he's like, hey, Cassie, you know, Nina was like a second daughter to us and we really miss her. but we also missed you. Mm-hmm. And that kind of just shows that Nina and Cassie were so tethered that when Nina died, it almost felt like a huge part of Cassie died, and not just inside of her, but everybody noticed, you know, it impacted so many people. But anyway, they have like this super cute relationship. They start falling in love with each other. It's the sweetest thing.
Yeah, I loved it. And then, like you said, when they introduced the family, I thought that was cool. And then they finally are getting to the point where they're able to be like, yay, I'm falling in love with you. All things are right. And then Satan comes right through the back door. as soon as we got to this point of the movie, I was like, fuck. Because Madison ends up coming back. And finally, Cassie's able to tell her, like, girl, I set you up. Like, this guy basically just took you to the hotel room, made sure that you were taken care of. He didn't do anything to you. So that's where we all were like, oh, thank God. Because
prior to that, I was like,
girl, what'd you do to Madison? You know? Yeah.
And Madison kept calling Cassie, and Cassie was ignoring her. And she didn't.
Exactly.
The absolute worst.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, ooh, what in the world? So Madison had to learn her lesson the hard way about that stuff. And then through this conversation, she ends up telling Cassie, Madison's telling Cassie about a video that she found on one of her phones from when she was at that school. And so on the phone, eventually we come to find out that there's a video of the sexual assault. And then a lot of them and their classmates were there, like cackling and like laughing about what was happening to this poor girl, Nina. And then the guy who recorded it sent it out to people, which already the sexual assault is bad.
Mm-hmm.
If then you add the video where you're passing it out to people like it's a prize. Mm-hmm. I was very upset about that, and especially to the point where it's like, so a lot of you college kids knew that this guy actually did this and you have a video and you guys still like none of you thought it would be a good idea to be like, hey, police, like, you know, like. I was really mad about that part. Like, I knew after I watched the second time, I was still mad about it all over again. Because I was like, what the fuck?
Even Madison says it. She's like, I can't believe we passed this around and laughed and thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she absolves herself of anything. You know, she's just she said, do whatever you want with it, but keep me out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So so it's hard because you still want to punch her in the face, but at least she's finally getting to the point where she's seeing like, oh shit, like, but I did a bad job here, you know?
Yeah. And I think she realized that she did a bad job, but I think because she thinks that she acknowledged that, oh, I did something wrong and I probably should have believed her. She feels that's enough. She wants no other part. She's not trying to be like a witness at a stand or anything like that. Like, she's like, this is it. This is like the last favor that I do for you. Don't
exactly. Yeah, that was the funniest line. Don't ever fucking call me again. Yeah. I was like, damn, Madison. All right.
Honestly, that's wonderful because obviously she didn't care.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly.
So, until that whole thing happened.
And Madison doesn't seem like, she seems like the kind of friend that's like, oh, I'm a girl boss and I'm selling. Yeah. You know, those herbal or some kind of marketing
situation. She's trying to do the whole MLM thing.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. You could lose that girl's number. You don't need it. But yeah, but it was, yeah. So she gets this phone, gets the video. She realizes like the assault is on there. And then the worst part of it, well, it's all bad, but the sad part of it is that also Ryan was there and he was like cackling along with everybody. And so for me, this scene was so heartbreaking because, like, you see, like, Cassie's finally, like, getting some of her shit together, finding some life all over again. And like I said, Satan come through the back door and said, no, bitch. No, 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 no. Wait a minute. You know, and so that was kind of hard to watch because, again, you were kind of rooting for the two of them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But she then has to like figure out how to process this. You see her going on a walk, like she's going through it. And she finally decides to go to Ryan and confront him. Mm-hmm. And this was hard too, because it's like, this is an opportunity where he could have like grew some balls and like actually confessed to what he did, you know, take some responsibility. none of that happens. Yeah. And I don't know if you noticed, but like, I also felt like he kind of used like, you know, him saying, I love you. And then like fake tears to kind of like try to get her to change her mind about saying something. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even like to have her change his mind about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because again, he was not taking any responsibility. So what's she changing her mind about? Like, you know what I mean? That was such a heartbreaker. I was so upset. And then that's where Cassie, I feel like it's the final nail in the coffin for her, because she's like, I can't even trust you.
The last fucking straw for
that. Yes, like, last one. So she then asks him, like, hey, tell me where this, you know, bachelor party is going to be at. Because Al's about to get married, which I was like, ugh. But I was about to get married, and she's like, tell me where this bachelor party is, or I'm, you know, sending out this video. And again, you know, Ryan is like the coward that he is. He's just trying to protect himself. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of worst parts. We keep going. But the other worst part is that he's like, oh, well, you know, if you tell on me, he kind of insinuated, like, I'm going to not be a medical doctor like you, like, you know, type of thing.
We'll both be a fucking failure.
Yeah, exactly. It was like another low blow. And I was just like,
like, yeah, you were just like everybody else.
Exactly. So we're as you're watching this part of the movie, it's like you're that Tyra Banks, like, we were all rooting for you.
Yes. You know, like, he disappointed us so bad.
Yes, he did. And I think we kind of alluded to him, but the only person that really doesn't disappoint you as much is the lawyer that was involved in the case. Waiting
for his moment.
Yeah, no, it came up before she went to go see Nina's mother. But yeah, but I know, like, he's the only guy that kind of redeems himself, because he ends up telling Cassie, like, I feel horrible about what I've done. I can't sleep. He ended up having like a psychotic break because of how bad he feels. Yeah, he remembered her. So he's like the one person in this situation that didn't even have to be coerced into saying that he's sorry, like the dean. Like, he actually feels bad, you know?
And I think what's crazy is that people like Al Monroe who do this stuff, they have three enablers overall. It's like family and friends who kind of just know it, or they witnessed it and they don't say anything, or worse, they protect them and they lie in for that. Then you have like the university's like response when they kind of like Dean. And then you have the judicial system. And I think what's crazy is that the defense lawyer for Al, he says this quote. He said, I got a bonus for every settlement out of court and another bonus for every charge dropped. So tell me how that system works in favor for people like Al.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we just settle, they end up, the lawyers get more money.
Exactly. So they and then you hear, like, he does anything under the sun, that even if it's the dirtiest thing they can think of, to make women not say anything. And so I think it's, I mean, I've talked a few times on the podcast about like some of the judicial stuff and just how America always presents itself as like, oh, we're just and we care about democracy and all this shit. And meanwhile, they're like coming up with bullshit like this. And you're just like, you know, so the rest of us are like, bish where, you know?
Right. It's like when they say, you know, the law is blind or whatever. What's that word? Justice is blind.
Justice.
Yeah. And it's like, not unless you have money.
Yeah,
a bitch sails right up on your side, you know.
Exactly, and everything for you, but everybody else, they're like, "Oh, what did you do?"
But once money is in the picture,
exactly. Yeah. So that's such a shitty part too. But again, I was actually happy that somebody was redeemable.
Yeah, and I love that the lawyer scene, because it shows that, and she was gonna like, I don't know, if she was gonna fuck him up. I don't know what she was planning to do.
Yeah, for,
like, sort of revenge.
Yeah,
but she had something planned.
She did,
but because he was remorseful, because he showed like this repentance, right? And what's crazy is that one of the themes throughout the movie is, and this is also mentioned in the YouTube channel that I mentioned from the take, where it's like, so like throughout the movie you kind of see like a lot of pastels, a lot of like, I don't know, like rainbows and like really cute, like cutesy, like what you would think is like a teenager kind of thing. But you also see like imagery, like Cassie is usually surrounded by like a halo. I don't know if you remember, but in that scene where Bo comes back after he rejects her, there's this scene where she's wearing like a pink sweater and there's like this blue kind of like circle around her, and she's depicted like an angel or a saint. And that scene with the defense lawyer, the position that they're in at some point is supposed to evoke Michelangelo's Beata. It's a statue of the Virgin Mary holding Jesus Christ after his crucifixion. And so there's this theme of like, if you confess and you repent, then only forgiveness can happen. And there's also like Cassie, when she, at the beginning of the movie and also at the end, one of the first and last time that we see her, she's like in this kind of Christ-like position on the cross. And again, it's supposed to symbolize like she's supposed to be, this is a bigger situation than just her, right? She's supposed to be. Yeah.
The sacrifice for.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And so it's kind of crazy. And then this is actually something that they mentioned too. And I didn't know this because I don't know anything about Greek mythology, but Cassie is actually named after Cassandra in Greek mythology. She was a woman who was given the power of prophecy by Apollo, but then Apollo punished her so that her prophecy was never believed by people. And so when you think about it in that sense, it's like women are constantly never believed, or I wouldn't say never believed, but there's like this, it's really hard for women to come out and say something and for everyone to just say, yeah, I believe her. Right. Yeah, there's always not, like when the whole Cosby thing went down, people were coming out and they thought that it was for money. You know, people criticize these women. And so it makes it so much harder for women to come out and say something when they're always going to get that backlash or that criticism of, that didn't happen to you. Why are you lying? Why are you making
that? Makes sense. Yeah. That's cool. I didn't expect this movie to have any religious undertone like that, but that's really interesting.
Yeah. You'll see like little angels around, like just throughout the movie. And I did notice those, but again, when you're watching it, you're just like, oh, okay, whatever. And it doesn't like click. But I bet when you go back, you'll like notice it everywhere.
I know.
So it really took these women from like the take to kind of show you like how it all equals like this. Or again, this is their theory, and I'm sure there's some weight to it, because it's at this point, it's like it's too much of a coincidence.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, and it's, I mean, for those who are interested, I will make sure to post a link about it so you guys can watch it. But I think it's good to think about some of this stuff. Because the cool thing about this movie is there's so many ways that you can learn from this, that like, you know, whether you're in school, whether you're just doing it for fun, or whether you're just interested, whatever, like, I think having different sources that can help you understand the complexities of this movie is great. Because I know you've watched it 3 times, I've watched it twice. And every time we watch it, we've noticed something different. So it helps.
A lot of layers.
Yeah. And
it's a movie that you kind of take home with you, right?
Exactly. Like, you really do. So sadly, after she has to tell this man that she knows that he was on the video, she does end up going to the bachelor party location after she finds out word is from Ryan. And it's kind of cool because the music that they used to her to walk to the bachelor party is like an interesting cover of Toxic, which I really loved.
Loved it.
And while she's at this bachelor party, you see all these men that Al hangs out with. One of them, I think his name was Joe, who you find out later that he was there, and he's the guy who recorded everything when everything happened to Nina. But, you know, at this bachelor party, she ends up like introducing herself, kind of, and she gets everybody at the bachelor party except Al to have a drink that ends up knocking them out. She takes Al upstairs.
Can we just talk about how, like, such a beige Becky, like, Al is? Like, he's, like, this guy in a, like, pink polo shirt with, like, khaki pants. And he's, like, he has, like, this Point Dexter kind of voice. And he just does not seem like somebody who would, like, I imagined, and you know, the guy that plays Schmidt, or what's his real name, Max Greenfield, I thought when he opened the door, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense, because like his character in the movie plays like this, like, nah, kind of guy, you know, like, yeah, he's like obviously the party guy. And I just assumed that it was going to be him. And then, you know, and then you see that Al is actually like this, like, guy that tucks in his polo shirt.
Yeah, kinda, like, he's a very soft, like,
super sweet. Like, he, yeah, and he's like, I love Anastasia. I didn't want a stripper. I love my wife. I didn't want this. And he's not drinking and he doesn't want to do anything crazy. And so he has such a, like, almost an innocence to him, or at least that's how he comes off. And it's just really funny. And I love that juxtaposition of, like, having this is really meek and almost very shy man be the person that you would least expect to do something like this.
Exactly, exactly. And then again, it highlights, like, that's what it comes down to. The people that we paint as, like, oh, they're the ones that are going to be the rapist. A lot of the time it's like, no, it's the people that you're calm, they're collected, you can trust them. And they do some things that you're like, wow, this is horrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that, but it is true, because the guy that you would think would be the rapist is not the guy. It's the other guy. But the guy who isn't the rapist that you think would be the rapist is the asshole that records everything. So he's not really that far from that. Yeah. He's still not that far from blame. Yeah. He's still a piece of shit, but it's a different type. But yeah, so she eventually gets everybody else drunk and asleep. She slips something in their drink. She brings Al upstairs, gets him tied up and, like, with these cuffs on the bed. And then she ends up telling Al, like, I'm Nina Fisher. Al's like, no, the fuck you're not. Like, she's dead. What do you mean? After she, like, introduces herself as Nina Fisher. And well, she's,
what's interesting, I'm sorry, is that, like, he asks her what's her name? She's like, Candy. And he's like, no, but what's your real name? She says Nina. She named Nina Fisher. And he remembers her. Mm-hmm. And so he remembers Nina. He's like, no, you're not. She's like, yeah, I am, blah, blah, blah. She's like, well, there's another Nina Fisher. Like, it's not, you know, that's my name. And he puts two and two together. And what's crazy is that when he acknowledges, or when he knows, like, he instantly remembers Nina Fisher. I thought, oh, this is going to be maybe a redemption, like, that he remembers, like, the lawyer.
Yeah, the girl.
And he did not.
Well, we all hoped for the best, and he just... Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was rough, because he starts saying all that shit, like, oh, like, I was young. I didn't know what I was.
Yeah, he was like, I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. I did nothing wrong, is what he
Yes. Said. That was another line that I was like, nothing? Like, you couldn't think of anything at all.
Yeah. Because I can name three. Okay.
Exactly. And to me, I understand using the I was young and stupid argument for, like, experimenting with drugs. Maybe drinking a little too much. Maybe, like, you know how guys, sometimes they get together and they're, like, jumping off of stuff and just doing stupid shit and they get, like, hurt.
Literally that stuff of remorse would have been.
Yeah, that stuff, I'm like, sure. If you're a dumbass in that way, great. But for you to physically violate somebody, like, no. You know what I mean? You can't. Like, there's no way that you can be like, oh, I was young. No, there's never an age where that's acceptable.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was just a mess. But it's hard, because then, like you said, you have to look at it from, like, you're seeing him on the one hand, like, you really love your girlfriend, you don't want to cheat on her, all this stuff. So there's, like, obviously some redeeming qualities-ish to this man. Mm-hmm. But then he did something like this. So it's like,
it's like you can see how other people could never fathom Al actually doing this.
Exactly, exactly. But then the rest of us are like, no, bitch, you did it, you know? And Nina's family, everybody, were like, no, you did it. So, but again, I think that's where this movie does such a great job of, like, showing us the complexities of these stories and rape culture, because we're, a lot of the times it's so easy to be like, yeah, but they're such a nice guy. Like, even when we talk, you brought up Bill Cosby earlier. You're looking at, oh, look at what he did for the community. He's such a nice guy. He's this and that. But it's like discounting that even if he was those things, he still did something wrong and deserves to be held accountable for that. You can't erase what he's done just because, like, you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to acknowledge that somebody that can, that might have some capacity to be good, you know, did something so shitty. But yeah, but you don't expect it to be like, you don't expect that somebody that loves his wife and like cares about other things will do something
usually,
so shitty.
Yeah. You know? Usually you'll think of like somebody who's kind of like an asshole or a sleaze or, you know, whatever. And you don't really expect it from somebody like Al, but I think that's the point.
Yeah. 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 So again, layers. I love the layers of this. And then eventually, you know, once he finds out that it's, you know, this the friend of this girl, Nina eventually like makes it seem like she's gonna like cut him with a scalpel, I think it was, right? She's gonna put her name on his body with the scalpel, because that's where she goes into the conversation around like she was a different person before what you did to her, like the thing that you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So she goes into this whole spiel about how Nina changed so much before you did what you did to her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before she was a certain person, now, like afterwards, she was like only thinking about your name and you. So that's why she was going to put Nina's name on him. I was like, girl, this went real dark real quick.
She was basically talking about how Nina was so confident and always so sure of herself. She said Nina was just Nina, and she was unapologetically herself until what happened with Al. And then all she could think of was Al. And she says that Nina was no longer belonged to herself, but she belonged to Al. And she says metaphorically, like, his name and his imprint on her was all over Nina. And so, you know, she is taking that literally, and she's like, I'm gonna carve up Nina's name in you. Mm-hmm. And you should always remember Nina's name every single fucking day.
Exactly. And so, like, she climbs up on top of this man with the scalpel, ready to carve up the name of Nina on him.
Yeah.
He ends up like breaking free one of his hands from the handcuffs. And then he ends up like being able to get on top of her and then put a pillow over this poor woman's head and like basically snuffs her out. It's a nice way to put it. It was
so hard to watch because the camera slowly pans inward, forcing you to just keep watching.
Yeah. And I feel like it took forever for her to die.
It's
which
like
is
a
like,
2 minute and like 45 seconds.
Yes, girl. Thing.
And you see her struggling and you see Cassie take her last breath.
Yeah, that was very intense. There was a lot there to watch. And I don't know, to me, it also felt like a suicide by cop type situation where like she knew it was like the end. She just went into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, knowing that it was the end of everything, and she like put herself in a situation that that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
I don't know if she really planned to come out of that okay.
I don't think so.
But yeah, so it did kind of feel like a suicide mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is like, damn. So he kills her, obviously. And then they end up sleeping kind of in the same bed for overnight because obviously he's still cuffed and he can't move. And then the rest of the party downstairs is like so drugged out. They slept until the next day. And then Joe, the guy who recorded shit and was at the bachelor party, ended up coming upstairs the next day being like, yo, like, you slept with the hooker, okay? Like, he was just being a typical man about it. It was just like, whatever. I didn't like that either. But he was like, oh, you know, you slept with her, blah, blah, blah. And, like, finally...
High five.
Yeah. Finally, Al is like, dude, no, she's, like, dead. Like, for real, for real. And it takes that guy a minute. To be like, oh shit.
And then he immediately, once it sets in that he like, he takes off the pillow off of Nina because Nina is still covered with the pillow that she was suffocated with. And that's when he realizes, like, oh shit, she actually is dead.
Yeah, exactly.
And immediately, this Joe character or Schmidt from New Girl, I can never unsee him as
I know, it's hard to yeah,
but anyway,
I agree. And Schmidt is supposed to be such a great character.
I know. And so Joe immediately is like, you did nothing wrong. It was an accident. You did nothing wrong. And Al is like, well, no, I think I did something. He's like, no, it's not your fault. And like immediately, like, not praises, but he immediately like removes all fault from Al. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, this is crazy. That's the way that they could convince themselves. It's insane.
It's like the myths you have to tell yourselves and the backflips you have to do to be here. The mental gymnastics.
Yeah. You have to do to make yourself believe. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, if I had like 10% of that confidence and that ability to convince myself of something, I most likely wouldn't be depressed and I'd be really great with my life.
It would be a wrap. Over with. Yeah, it's really hard to watch that because you're like, dude, like, really? Like, what do you mean? Just told
somebody, how can you say that he's...
Exactly. How could you say that this wasn't a big deal? You know what I mean? So Al and this dude, Joe, end up like getting the girl out of the house, burning up her body, trying to hide evidence, essentially. And then next scene, you see the parents are like realizing like, oh shit, she's missing. Where is she? They bring the cops. Then we go back to Brian's fuck ass. And he's just like, he has another opportunity to redeem himself and actually be a decent human being. Because then the cops go to him, was like, hey, do you know where she could have been? And of course he knows where she could have been because he told her. He gave her the address of the damn thing. So he doesn't want to say where she is. Then he's painting her like, oh yeah, she was a little off. She was a little crazy. She was a little he's not helping at all. And that was also disappointing because I was like, this was another moment that you had or you could have redeemed yourself. And instead, you're protecting your own interests and you're protecting yourself and your boys.
And he's also protecting Al. Like he obviously knows that something happened.
Exactly.
And instead of, you know, and... unfortunately, like this, I'm sure this stuff happens all the time where you fall in love with a character, not a character, but a person. And then years later, you find out that they're a total asshole. And I think even if Cassie like lived, I'm still glad that that part of Ryan is revealed at the beginning. Like if this was a real relationship, I would have rather you know now than like 10 years down the line with like
because he's a piece of shit. And I think, and again, not to drag all men, but I think this is where I struggle sometimes with men, mm-hmm. because it always takes women mm-hmm. to really convince them to step up to stuff sometimes. Mm-hmm. And even then, like, they do the bare ass minimum. Because again, they're protecting their boys, they're protecting their reputation, they're protecting all this other stuff. And again, like, I think for me, I saw Cassie's character also as a truth teller. Like, she's trying to get them to tell the truth, to mm-hmm. unburden themselves with what they did, mm-hmm. to deal with the consequences. Like, that's part of her role in this movie. And every time she gives these people an opportunity to do that, especially with these men, they're just like, no, I'm not doing it. And even with these ample opportunities, still not doing, like, they're still protecting themselves and their interests and stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know women do this shit too, but especially with men, lately I've struggled with that. Because, I mean, even right now, you know, we have a possible war thing going on and it's like, why are we doing, like, why is it that we're so, and especially men, are they're so okay to, like, continue mm-hmm. to hurt each other, to fight for power, to do all the stuff, and it's like, when it's not even necessary, you know? So, whatever. I just wanted somebody to take responsibility, and Ryan let me down. It's like, damn it. Even to the very end, he still was like, oh, no. So, long story short, this man, Al, ends up getting arrested at his wedding because Carrie, like, plans ahead to send out, like, text messages when she dies or whatever. She also sent out a letter with evidence and stuff to the lawyer with the video, essentially. Basically, she, like, spills everything, you know. And so the lawyer is able to bring evidence to the cops. She even had on the letter, like, this is the address of where I went. it was at this person's bachelor party. If something happens to me, blah, blah, blah. So everybody's getting arrested at this point. We never get to see what happens to Ryan officially or like anybody else, but you kind of realize at least Joe and Al are going to get in trouble because the evidence against them is kind of damning. And it is really interesting. Like, you do finally see Al like sad and crying. Mm-hmm. But it's like at the end when shit really hits the fan. Like, that's when he's finally like, oh shit, like I did something wrong. But it's like now that you're finally in trouble is when he's like, oh, okay. Now I should probably do something about this, right? Or like show some kind of remorse or something, you know? And then there goes Joe running away, which I thought was also funny. It was a mess. He was like, bye. Even though it was his fucking idea to burn this person's body. Like, oh God. But yeah, this movie was very well done, I will say. Like, I liked it a lot. Again, I thought they did a good job of like showing both sides of the problem. Like, you know, everybody's guilty of this. Like, especially again, when you think about it, just like in terms of like rape culture, I think everybody plays a role in it. Mm-hmm. So it's like being aware of like how you do that and actually saying something about it. And that takes a lot of time to like kind of unlearn because we're so used to like just having that shit in our society and not asking questions.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting. But in terms of like, I don't know, just like, is there stuff from this movie that you feel like it kind of challenged you to see like the world a little differently in terms of like how we deal with this topic or just in general? Or was this a lot of like, oh yeah, this I've seen this, I understand this already?
I think for me, it just kind of highlighted just the mentality that people have when it comes to this stuff. Like, we know that a lot of people reject these stories or they don't believe them or they just kind of toss them out, right? But it's crazy how, you know, we mentioned the whole mental gymnastics of how people try really hard to convince themselves that they are good people, even though they did a really shitty thing. And I don't know, it's just, it always surprises me when I see that. Every single time I watch this movie, it just surprises me how there are people like that, most likely. That, and don't get me wrong, it's not like I've never done anything wrong and I've never had a hard time believing that I did something wrong, but not to a level like that, you know, not to the level of I committed a crime. Like, I did something incredibly like vulgar and violent to somebody, you know. I don't know. It's just, it's insane the way that they convince themselves or they try to, you know, say things to make themselves feel better about it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say similar too. Like, there's a lot of little things that the movie brings out that I'm like, I don't realize like this is like rape culture influencer, you know, like, so it really forced me to have to pay attention to, again, like even my thoughts around some of this stuff, because I think it's very easy to be like, what is this person wearing or what are they doing or what did they do? What were they drinking? Mm-hmm. So easy to have that kind of crappy mindset around this topic. So yeah. It was I loved how they, you know, both subtly and like very obviously, you know, kind of bring up those little nuances and those little, I don't know, these little obvious points about rape culture that we don't always think about. It's not always in the front of our minds type of thing.
Yeah.
And then I think too, it could be very easy to be like, oh, it's just a men problem, you know, men mm-hmm. just do this. But then being reminded, like, you know, we as women do this too, like we add to this problem or we contribute to it too. Mm-hmm. And so even for me to be willing to be humble and be like, oh shit, yeah, this is stuff that I have to challenge. I think that was, you know, this movie kind of reminded me of that stuff too, the stuff that I have to challenge. And I know the Dean character and Madison, they're very like, in some ways they're kind of exaggerated versions of what women do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they're not. Because I know I've hung out with friends before that they say stuff or they've had said stuff in the past before they knew better, that I'm like, ooh, I've heard this before. Even from my own self, before I learned better, like I would think stuff or say stuff where I'm like, ooh. And I think I will say the good thing about myself is like, even before I knew about rape culture, I knew enough to shut the fuck up and not say things out loud and have empathy. But the fact that I even thought this stuff is where I'm like, ooh, I need to chat. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. So I think this movie really reminded me of like why it's so important for this to be a both men and women problem and not just only men, even though men also need to do better with themselves. So yeah, but I do definitely recommend it for everybody to watch. You say you would recommend it too, Bae?
Girl, yes, but to the right people.
But I feel like this movie could be like, you can, you know, do courses on like a college with the, like, there's so many ways that you can process. Even with a group of friends, you can watch it and talk about it together. There's so many ways. It's a
total like topic of discussion kind of movie.
Yeah, for sure. And again, now I've seen it twice. You've seen it like three times at least.
Like two or
three. And every single time we've seen it, we're just like, wow, like there's something else. Something else pops up.
Well, so. Again, like, even though I've watched it, you know, a few times, still not like picking up all of the different elements or all of the different themes and symbolisms that kind of occur throughout the movie until, like, you know, the take is a group of like, I don't know how many women there are. I don't know if it's like, I know it's more than two, or at least I think so. But basically, like, they just sit down and analyze the shit out of this movie and they do a ton of research. And unless you're doing that all the time for every movie, there are going to be like these subtle aspects that you totally miss that are still kind of crucial and that support the whole theme of the movie, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think, you know, Michael at the end of the movie was like, Cassie didn't have to die. And I said, well, to be honest, I think she did. And the take kind of mentions this too, where like, unfortunately, most of the time, one name, one victim is not enough to bring somebody down. Unfortunately, there always has to be, and there usually is, a lineup of different people who have suffered this kind of abuse by this one individual. And so I think that kind of just shows that, unfortunately, like, sometimes a lot of noise has to be made. And I think Cassie was willing to do that. You know, again, she sacrificed herself to bring justice. And I guess this is where the crucifixion thing comes, the crucifixion pose comes, and the whole, like, you know, slight parallels to like Jesus and religion and all this stuff. But yeah, like, she really did sacrifice herself to be able to do this, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's sadly, yeah, you're right. Cause it's, I think about this reminding me of even like with like Emmett Till back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like, unfortunately, he died and people ended up having to look to him as like, I don't want to say a sacrifice, but kind of, I hate using that, but
yeah,
because his life wasn't supposed to be a sacrifice, but essentially his mom was like able to use what happened to him to raise awareness, even though she should have been like, fuck everybody and like whatever, but she decided to use his story and what happened to him to raise awareness, and it ended up contributing a lot to the movement of civil rights stuff, you know. So unfortunately, like, the rest of us are like, damn, he shouldn't have had to die, but his death ended up being a catalyst for something else. And I think that's kind of like with Cassie, like you said, like, she shouldn't have had to die, but unfortunately her death ends up being a catalyst to justice, because Nina's death wasn't enough, unfortunately, which to us were like, Nina's death should have been it. Like, even and if anything, this shouldn't have even happened, but we don't have that, you know? So it's just, yeah, it's a tough one. But I was sad too that she died. I was like, damn it. Like, low key, I would have rather like she killed him, but
yeah. You know,
but at the end, I guess she gets to be with Cassie. So there's like different ways to kind of look at that. But it was,
well,
it was
a good one. Also, realistically, like, if I know it's a movie, but like, I think it also just shows that in situation, like, we see Cassie as like super powerful and like really badass for doing things. But in reality, she's a woman and most of the time men can overpower women in situations like that. And yeah, I think that makes sense. Kind of shows like anybody, it could be anybody.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Well, on that note.
On this note.
On this sad ass note. Thank you, Diane, for coming on again to talk about this movie. I hope everybody enjoyed the conversation. I know both she and I, between me coughing in between this and just, we're both tired.
My dog harassed
me. Yeah, there was just a lot that was happening behind the scenes. So we thank you guys all for being patient with us. But we hope that, you know, our conversation could at least spark your interest in watching this movie. And then like also talking about this, you know, and that it doesn't just stop here at on Women's Month, that you guys continue to have these conversations. I know outside of this movie, I also enjoyed watching this show called I May Destroy You that was on HBO because it also did a good job of like talking about this hard topic of sexual assault, even though there was a lot of scenes that I was like, oh damn, like I can't believe this actress had to, you know, kind of in a way relive this, because it was based off of her real experience with sexual assault and her being a survivor of it. So, but I think again, unless we're exposed to this, the realities of things, like we're not going to be able to change them. So I do encourage everybody, if you can, to try to expose yourself to these stories and these realities, because I think it's very easy to pretend that it's not happening or like to blame people and say it's their fault when it's not. You know, so is there anything you want to add to that, Diane, or what are you thinking?
No. I think after this, I'm just going to watch like a Disney movie.
I know. Same, because it's hard out here in these streets.
It's heavy. My therapist even said that once. She's like, honestly, after having to deal with everybody's problems, I just like to watch Nickelodeon.
Girl, yeah. And that's why I'm listening to audiobooks right now. But yes, after this podcast too, if you need to debrief and do something else, do that. I know I was watching Abbott Elementary after watching this movie because of how heavy it was.
So funny.
So yeah, but take care of yourselves, but learn. And so on that note, I thank you all again for just joining me and my lovely friend Diane here on another episode of Critical Reads. And we look forward to hanging out with you guys again soon. But in the meantime, please enjoy my outro.
Hey there, and thank you for joining me on this week's episode of Critical Reads. To find out more about me or to consume more of my content, please feel free to visit my website, soulsessionswithneff.com, where I share a variety of things, including blog posts, resource lists, and have a regularly updated calendar for this podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook using the handle @soulsessionswithneff. While you're at it, if you really enjoy listening to Critical Reads, I encourage you to please subscribe to this show on iTunes, Google, or Spotify, and take some time to rate us on these different platforms. Your reviews will really help the show gain some visibility and also give me some much needed feedback on how the show is doing. I thank you in advance for your time and your support. And until next time, this has been Neff with some Critical Reads.